Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Dad and Luann, I can say that in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen an election that has caused so much anxiety for people who are concerned which direction our country is headed in.
I agree with that, Ryan. There is anxiety everywhere. The American people know things have gone wrong and that we're on the wrong track. Imagine it, 54 million babies. Have been aborted, killed, murdered since Roe v. Wade. And people are blasé about it. And, you know, they see how marriage is on the brink of redefinition and maybe the destruction of the institution of marriage. And there are just so many things that give us reason for concern today.
Well, not to mention, Doctor, the rising national debt, which I hear is now approaching $16 trillion. Dollars. That's just unsustainable.
Well, it's time to be praying for our great nation. I just read a quote, and in fact, I have it in front of me, that goes back to 1860. And this was when our young country was teetering on the cusp of the Civil War that occurred right after this comment was made. It was written by James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States, and he wrote, "In this hour of our calamity and peril, to whom shall we resort for relief but to the God of our fathers? His omnipotent arm only can save us from the awful effects of our own crimes and follies, our own ingratitude and guilt towards our Heavenly Father." That's where we are today, and that's the only source for recovery.
Well, Dad, last time we were visiting with Congressman Frank Wolf, a man who definitely understands that principle. He has diligently served our country by representing Virginia's 10th Congressional District in the House of Representatives since 1981.
Well, he's been my friend for more than 30 years now. And we talked on the phone with him last time about many of the issues that concern us. And when we ran out of time, we just continued talking and recording. That's what we're going to let our listeners hear today. Congressman Wolf's career in Congress has been driven by a passion for liberty and justice, particularly in areas of the world which have been devastated by communism and by dictatorships. Yeah, you can tell immediately that Congressman Wolf sees America as that shining city on a hill. And he and others are concerned that our light might be dimming now. So Congressman Wolf is calling on all of us to get informed and make a difference to get this country back on track. And I'm grateful for his leadership.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to rejoin our conversation with Congressman Wolf right after we had just finished talking about how products by Apple and Microsoft and so many other companies are produced in China, where the working conditions are just deplorable. So let's jump right back in now as you, Luann, ask him to expound a little bit more on his concerns about our entanglement with communist China.
And what our listeners are about to hear is worth listening to the entire program. I mean, this is powerful. Listen carefully.
Congressman, this is all pretty overwhelming when we hear just how embroiled China is in American life altogether. And I'm just thinking, many of us do own the products that you just mentioned. I mean, it's almost a running joke. You go to buy a little American flag and it says made in China. Realistically, how can we stand against that, though, when nearly every one of the products that we use on a daily basis come from that country? Are you suggesting some kind of a boycott?
No, two ways. One, we cannot continue to borrow money from China. It is a moral issue. I will tell you, General Eisenhower would have not borrowed money from China. Truman wouldn't have borrowed money from China. Ronald Reagan wouldn't have borrowed money from China. We just got to get the debt and the deficit under control. Secondly, we got to start repatriating those jobs. We got to tell those companies, come home. It is time for you to come home. We want to repatriate them, give them tax breaks, give them opportunities. So there's a lot that we can do. We, the people, get to decide. We, the people, can say we will no longer live the way that we're living with debt and deficit and borrowing from China and also from Saudi Arabia. And we, the people, would put policies in to urge them to repatriate, to bring those jobs back. They all can be brought back. And now with the wages beginning to move up in China, the environmental policies in China are a mess. Men cannot find wives. You have this one-child policy, forced abortion. Chinese people are getting very upset with the government. I believe, and this will be very controversial, but I believe the Chinese government may very well fall. I mean, in 1986, nobody thought the Russians were going to fall. The Soviet Union fell because we had men like Ronald Reagan said, tear down that wall, call them the evil empire. When he went to Moscow, he spoke out for human rights, and bingo, they fell. This country of China is in trouble, but there are ways to bring those jobs back. You begin by not spending more money than you're taking in. So we need a major deficit reduction package that puts everything on the table so we can save this country. And then you'll begin to see these jobs come back. I think a lot of American companies now want to come home.
And just to put a PS on that, I think you've also encouraged young people to go into science and technology and engineering fields.
We need more people in math and science and physics and chemistry and biology. We need to find a cure for cancer, cure for autism, a cure for all these things. We put together a panel to see how can we make NASA visionary in almost the way it was in the past with John Glenn and Alan Shepard and people like that. A couple of months ago, the space shuttle on the back of an airplane flew over Washington. Everyone poured out of their office buildings, out of the Capitol to see it. Americans want to be number one in space and do things. So we're plussing up the sciences because we need to make things in this country. Math, science, physics, chemistry, with all due respect, and I was a lawyer, we don't need more lawyers. We need more physicists. We need more scientists. We need people who make things and do things. And, you know, America's a great country. We pull up our socks, tighten our shoes. You know, we can do it. I think it's been part of a leadership problem, but we have that capacity. But the sciences are very, very important. We don't want to fall behind. And yet, if you look at the math scores, they're falling behind. Our science scores are falling behind.
Congressman, you do talk about education reform in your book. A lot of people talk about that, but they don't think there's any solution. Is there a solution? Can we change the educational system so that we stop being 48th in the world?
We can. I mean, you're seeing great work being done with regard to charter schools. You're seeing here in Fairfax County the Thomas Jefferson High School. You're seeing a new science academy out in Loudoun County. I think that's beginning to change. I think you're beginning to see people kind of focus more. But part of the problem, again, I don't want to get too controversial, you've had these teacher unions. Not the teachers. The teachers, we love teachers. But there's some of the teachers' unions that have had these policies that will not allow the removal of somebody that can't teach or will not just embed it in and everything. But now you're finding a couple of charter schools in New York City, they're paying the teachers $100,000. You're finding great scores are going up. You're finding new programs in the inner city, one or two here in Washington that are dramatically changed the things. The Broad Foundation, one of my kids works there. They're trying to dramatically change education whereby it becomes so important to this country to change the way that things have done. But yes, I think that is changing. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. The studies show that if you don't have somebody interested in the sciences by fifth grade, the chances are they're not going to be interested. I mean, you very seldom hear somebody going to University of Southern California majoring in history and then in their junior year transferring into physics. So you have to get them while they're young. But I think we're seeing a turn now in education. But education is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I think some of these inner city schools we've had, while Chicago, Philadelphia. I mean, I think a kid in the inner city of Philadelphia, inner city Chicago, inner city L.A. deserves the same education as somebody else. And so we have to make those schools work. And as their programs have come in, we see dramatic changes. These kids in this inner city, they can learn, they want to learn, they can do well, but you got to take on some of the more powerful interests that you have in some of the school systems. And they fight back.
You mentioned the various kinds of schools that are working. You didn't mention homeschools. But I know you support it.
Homeschools for my yes, my daughter Virginia homeschools all for kids, and I always ask them, "Do you like your teachers?" And they do. But no, Mike Ferris has done a great job. I mean, homeschool they are expanding.
Well, he and Patrick Henry College are two of my favorites, man. I tell you,
well,
they
that's
are
in my district. Patrick Henry, yeah, right. Patrick Henry's in my district, but no, the homeschool is very, very important. And again, I have grandchildren in public schools. I have grandchildren that are homeschooled, and I have grandchildren. One of my kids, with her husband, he used to work for Chuck Colson, started a private Christian school up in Princeton called the William Wilberforce School. Mm. But homeschoolers are very, very important, and they do well. Yeah.
Congressman, how do you feel about our country today? We have been a great nation. Are we still a great nation? Can we still be a great nation?
Ryan, that could be an hour talk, and I have a talk on it too. I'm worried. I think the nation is facing the most serious times we've ever faced. We have a spiritual crisis, and we have a financial crisis. Neil Ferguson, who wrote the book Civilization, who writes a column for Newsweek, said when great nations decline, they decline rapidly. And I think we are approaching a point, and I think that's why where we're facing is so important. We got to deal with this debt deficit. Mm. We got to put everything on the table. We got to deal with that. We got to do some things spiritually, I worry. So, yes, I think we are a great nation. I think we're one a step away from being a greater nation. We could have a renaissance, but you're going to have to do some things for that to happen. So, and you know, nations, Neil Ferguson said, decline rapidly. Remember, Spain used to be a dominant power. England was a dominant power. England had 16 aircraft carriers after World War II, and now they have none. We relied on the French to win the Revolutionary War, Yorktown, now France. So a nation has to do certain things to maintain its dominance, but we are at a tipping point or a turning point. You pick the choice, but we don't have a long time to wait before we have to turn this around.
Well, is the bleak picture that you just alluded to a spiritual problem primarily, or is it just bad policies coming out of government?
I think it's both, Jim. I think I write a lot about the human rights of religious freedom. Where is the church speaking out on this issue? We have some pastors, obviously, that do. But in China, the church has been just, what's taking place to the church? As I said, in Egypt and in Iraq and Sudan, I was in Sudan a couple of months ago, the church is growing on a great persecution. But for the longest period of time, people didn't speak out. Spiritually, too, we're seeing this whole battle on the marriage issue. We're seeing the breakup of families. So I think it's a combination. And I just think we're going to have to do some things differently, or else the country could be in trouble. This is a great country. You go to Afghanistan and you meet the young men and women that are serving. They're unbelievably wonderful. We have great people. But we're in a funk. We're in a period now. Plus this debt and deficit. By the end of this year, Ryan, the deficit debt will be $17 trillion. We will owe it to China. China is our banker. The two countries that are our banker, China and Saudi Arabia. The Saudis funded the radical madrasas that were up on the Afghan-Pakistan border that led to 9/11. The Catholic Church is being persecuted in China. The evangelical, the house church. I mean, they've plundered Tibet. There are 41 Buddhist monks that have set themselves on fire because of the policies of the Chinese government. In addition to that, Ryan, they're spying against us. The Chinese hit my computer. Took everything off of my computer. 17 members had their computer stripped. Mm-hmm. So is it not a moral issue to think we, a great nation, the nation of Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Lincoln, Eisenhower, is borrowing now from China? Mm-hmm. I mean, it says, too, and about don't steal. We're stealing. We're taking money from future generations that we live. So if we don't deal with that, then this country will sink. Mm.
Frank, you have done so many things. I expressed appreciation to you when we started the program last time. You have also done a couple of things to really mess up my life.
And I know I have.
One of them is getting me into the Gambling Commission, and the other is getting me in the Pornography Commission.
I know.
It took me years to get over both of those.
I know. You and Henry Hudson. I know. I know.
But you did it,
and you came forward when we needed you. I know very well. You were sued because of that. The pornography. No, I know.
It took 7 years for that suit against us as commissioners to work its way up to the Supreme Court, which is crazy. We were serving without remuneration because our government asked us to, and we got sued by the pornography industry or a portion of it, and it took it all the way to the Supreme Court before they threw it out because they didn't have standing. All that time, by the way, our personal finances were at risk because we didn't know whether we were going to be tapped for millions of dollars if we'd have had it.
I know, but you did your part, and you did, and Henry Hudson, who was the chairman, and of course Ed Meese, God bless him, Ed is a great guy. Ed was sued too, and if you recall, when the administration changed, I think you had your own lawyer, thank goodness, but which cost you money. But when the administration changed, there for a while, justice was not going to continue to defend Henry and Ed Meese, and I fell for that period of time. I really thought. But pornography just was running, and the gambling industry too. And so, but no, I know. Well, you earned your spurs.
Well, that's the only ought I have against you. But honestly, it was a pleasure to serve, as difficult as that was. Frank, your book is entitled "Prisoner of Conscience." I think you ought to explain that title. How are you the prisoner of your conscience?
Once my conscience grabs me and my faith, there's no other way I can go. And sometimes it can be a burden, if you will. I cover a number of circumstances in the book. As you may remember, I was one of 8 Republicans that voted against seating Newt Gingrich for something. And I've seen these things, and I just think they're so important. So I dig in, and I fight for what I believe in, but my conscience grabs me, and I really basically don't have any other choice. I don't know if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. The end is coming, and we're not going to, so I don't want to waste any time here, and I don't want to not do things that make a difference. And so when I get grabbed into something like this, I'm in all the way. So my conscience, basically, the message is I'm a prisoner of it.
Well, Congressman, you're among the greats. I mean, you've got William Wilberforce, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King. Those people were also prisoners of their conscience. You tell a story in your book about visiting the Independence Hall with your wife and your 11-year-old grandson. Can you tell that story?
I can, and it's a great story, and I would urge anyone to kind of go and look and see. And there's actually a picture as you come out of the House chamber that sort of tells this story. As a kid, I was a mailboy. When I got out of high school, I worked for Curtis Publishing Company. Not many people remember Jack and Jill. And I used to walk through Independence Hall, and in those days, the Liberty Bell was out on a plank that you could actually touch. So we went there to see the room that the signing of the Declaration of Independence. But in that room is where the Constitutional Convention, 1787, was signed. And, of course, the chairman or the president of the convention was the greatest president we've ever had. That's George Washington. This was before he was president. He was president of the Constitutional Convention. And the story is true. I checked it out after the Park Service guy told us about it, and I came back and read a number of books and all. Madison writes to Jefferson, and he says, when Franklin was signing the Constitution, he began to weep. And he said, I used to look at the chair that Washington sat in, and on the back of that chair is a sun. A sun is painted. And Franklin said, I used to look at that sun, and I didn't know if it was a rising sun or a setting sun. And then as he's crying, weeping, Franklin, he says, I now believe that it is a rising sun upon the signature of the Constitution. And every politician loves to say, the sun has barely begun to rise on our country, and America's best days are yet ahead. And in order for us to say that America's best days are yet ahead, we got to deal with these problems. They dealt with the problems. We had great leaders like Washington and Madison and Jefferson and Monroe and Lincoln and Truman and Roosevelt and Reagan, but they dealt with the problems. And we, as this nation, have to deal with it, or else it will no longer be a rising sun. It'll be a setting sun. And as of now, we're not doing them.
Well, that is a great place to bring this second interview to a close. I thank you, Frank. You know, I was an only child, so I don't have any brothers and no sisters. But I've got some brothers who are cousins of mine and some others that I love deeply out of friendship, and you're one of them. Thank you for being my brother and for what you're doing for this great nation.
Thank you, Jim, and the rest, and God bless you. If anything I can ever do to help, just, you know, let me know. I can be a personal testimony about the impact that the Dobson message has had and can have on people, can be part of really turning families around and making things good. So thank you, and God bless you for what you've done.
Give Carolyn our love.
Okay, Jim. Bye. Right, bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye. And what critical issues we've discussed today on Family Talk with this very good man serving Virginia's 10th Congressional District, Congressman Frank Wolf. And Dr. Dobson, I think we can all agree we are ready to go to the mat to prevent that sun from setting on this country we love so much.
Well, you know, what he said is so very, very powerful and meaningful. It's going to take all of us. You and me, Lou Ann and Ryan, and the rest of the Family Talk team, and everybody who's listening to us, if we're going to turn this great country around and make it more positive and prosperous, and most importantly, to return it in a moral direction. Mm-hmm. And now is the time for all of us to educate ourselves on the issues that we're facing as a nation. I've said this before, and I want to say it again, that I truly believe that this upcoming election in November could be the most important one of my lifetime. Mm. And I would like all of our listeners who love America and care about preserving her for their children and their grandchildren to get registered to vote. Registered to vote and to make their voices heard at the polls in November.
Well, Dad, we have links on how people can register in their particular state at drjamesdobson.org. And also there you can request a 3-CD set we've put together for this critical time. It's called, aptly, Defending America. Again, those are found at drjamesdobson.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our number is 877-732-6825.
And I want our listeners to know that Family Talk will be featuring more and more conversations like the one that we've heard today as we get closer and closer to the election. There are just so many topics that we need to address. Mm-hmm. And we have a new tool that's going to help us do that. And I am very excited about it. I know the two of you have been talking about it, but I haven't been part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the new Family Talk app that's available on smartphones and tablets. Ryan, explain it.
Mm-hmm. We've developed a really great resource for people, Dad. You can hear the daily broadcast. You can access the Solid Answers section. When people need answers to specific questions, you've done a lot of those, and we have them all available on smartphones and tablets. They can download it in their particular product's app store, and then you can break it down into topic. And what we're talking about today is one of our topics. It's cultural issues. We talked about the sanctity of human life, religious liberties. It is so amazing what we can do with technology, and it's just going to get more robust every day.
But you can also hear this broadcast every day, 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. There are an awful lot of people who would like to hear our broadcast, but they say it's on in my area at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm working at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
And they can find it when they get off work or when they first get up in the morning. They can hear what we have to say 24 hours a day. Isn't that exciting?
It is. Well, and when we say if you missed yesterday's broadcast and you've got your smartphone with you, you can hear yesterday's broadcast with just one click. You click on the app, yesterday's broadcast, you can listen in right there.
And again, it's free.
Oh, it's free, of course. Yeah, it's free, definitely.
Well, Luann, you just programmed your phone a few minutes ago to see how long it took.
Mm-hmm.
It took you, what, about 3 or 4 minutes?
If that, doctor, it was very, very quick, very easy. So I would encourage everybody to get that Family Talk app on your iPhone.
And that was just to download it. It doesn't, once you download it, one button, that's it.
Right.
It's done.
You hit the app. And there it is. Is that exciting or what?
It is absolutely amazing. This is a great use of technology. But I do want to point out, doctor, for those who don't have these devices, we are still here the old-fashioned way, if online is old-fashioned now, drjamesdobson.org. Or for those of you who really prefer to pick up the phone and talk to us in person, 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
And Dad and Luann, while the app is free, there was a cost in developing it and to continue to update it. So if people can help us out, we really would appreciate it. You can do that online by clicking the Donate tab. You can also click the Donate tab in the app. Mm-hmm. Or again, you can call us 877-732-6825.
And Ryan, I would like our listeners to know that August has us by the throat. Mm. I mean, this is a tough time of year for any nonprofit ministry that is listener supported like we are. And it becomes necessary to say, please help us if you can. Mm.
Again, you can donate at drjamesdobson.org or when you call 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday for the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.